Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the last hour of the Grace Curley Show on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I do want to talk a little bit about the $3.5 trillion spending plan. And it's not because I think it's a good idea. It's not because I think it's necessarily going to happen. I'm still, like Joe Biden said, I'm an eternal optimist. You guys, you folks know that about me. Look, you know that about me. And so because of my optimism, I am hopeful that someone like Joe Manchin, who Howie always says, Joe Manchin is always there when you don't need him. Well, we desperately need him right now. So there's a chance that he will let us down yet again. But I always try to give you guys the silver lining. And in the case of this $3.5 trillion spending plan that is going to be so full of crazy policies and welfare systems and human infrastructure, whatever that means, I've tried to understand it. Actually, speaking of David Marcus, I mentioned that he gave this little glossary of new terms. He explained human infrastructure, and I did need a freshen up because it's been a long time since Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted out everything that is human infrastructure, child care. What else, Jared? There was a long list of things, everything except for like buildings, roads and bridges. Everything else in the world is human infrastructure.
Paid medical leave.
Free college.
Yeah. I mean, you name it. It was infrastructure.
Anything that Bernie Sanders and AOC dream about is part of human infrastructure.
Senate martini lunches.
Boom. There you go. And here's a little refresher from David Marcus. When we think about infrastructure, we tend to mean roads, bridges, airports, that kind of thing. But it turns out that you and I are also infrastructure. It's not that we can lay across a river while an 18-wheeler rolls over our backs. It's more like welfare. It seems handing out checks to people for doing nothing requires infrastructure, too. And for a mere $3.5 trillion, the great DC Leviathan will turn us into all into essential infrastructure. Why get paid to work when you can get paid not to work? Why take responsibility for your own life when the government can take care of you forever? So that is human infrastructure. And that's what we have to look forward to with this $3.5 trillion. But like I said, I'm Grace Glass half full Curly, and I'm here to tell you that there's good news. This $3.5 trillion spending plan, it's going to be totally free. I'm sorry, you know what? Let me try that one more time, because if I'm going to sell this, like I'm sure Joe Biden is selling this behind the scenes, let me try this one more time. That $3.5 trillion spending plan, it's free, hurts nobody, helps everybody. Did the whisper drill it home? I can't make sense of it. I can't. I'm not going to be able to explain this to you with math, because first of all, I'm very bad at math. You guys have heard me on the air try to do that aptitude test that Howie gave me. Math, not my strong suit. And second of all, this feels to me, when you have $3.5 trillion and then someone tells you it's going to be totally free, all I can think of is fuzzy math.
I can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
This feels very fuzzy. If I do say so myself. But Joe Biden, that's what he's telling us via tweet, of course. He's not telling us in person, you know, because he's only out in person for 5 minutes, and it's usually when he needs a new jab. So he tweeted this out. When I say Joe Biden tweeted something out, you can rest assured what I'm really saying is one of Joe Biden's interns tweeted something out. This is what he said over the weekend. My Build Back Better agenda, I like to call it my bagel back better, or my back street back all right better.
Bagel back better.
My Build Back Better agenda costs $0. Instead of wasting money on tax breaks, That's the most. That is the best tweet, and I'm only halfway through it, that I've ever read. Instead of wasting money on tax breaks, everyone's like, I kind of like the tax breaks. Which is it, by the way? Are we wasting money by giving people tax breaks, or are we giving people crumbs? They have to make up their minds on this. They're all over the map. He says, instead of wasting money on tax breaks, loopholes, and tax evasion for big corporations and the wealthy, we can make a once-in-a-generation investment in working America. You know what this means. It's for the kids. It's for the children. And it adds $0 to the national debt. Now, I know what you're thinking. Remember how there's that song, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? We need to do a remake. Where Have All the Fact Checkers Gone? Because I've been sitting here looking out the window just yelling, where is Daniel Dale? Where has Glenn Kessler gone? We need him back now. But they've been on vacation for a solid 8 months. And so while you're looking for the fact checkers, you're not going to find them. You will find enablers. You will find people who are pushing propaganda. And one of those people, her name, she's from the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos' rag. Her name is Catherine Rampell, and she's going to explain to Brian Stelter from Reliable Sources the hypocrisy and the nonsense here has so many layers. It is insane. This woman from the Washington Post is going to explain to Brian Stelter from CNN how there's going to be very little cost to this $3.5 trillion spending plan. In other words, rather than fact-checking Joe Biden, remember they used to give out Pinocchios? They used to break down every little scintilla of anything Trump said to find something, a kernel that wasn't true, something they could fact-check. They were eager to fact-check him. Now with Joe Biden, they're going to try to make the ridiculous things Joe Biden says, even if they make no sense, they're going to try to make them seem true to the American people. This is Cut 14.
The bill itself will not cost $3.5 trillion in the sense that it will be entirely or at least partly paid for. So the actual cost in terms of deficits will be smaller than that, perhaps even zero, although I think that's unlikely.
Yeah, but who's paying for it?
That is false.
Who's paying for it, though?
It's already paid for. Nobody's paying for it.
This, you
it's
know what,
magic.
You know what we have to play in the next break? Let's see how well you know me, Jared. Do you know what I'm going to say? It's a cut from a TV show.
I don't know that I'm on the same wavelength on this one.
We are going to play, I bet Taylor could pick this one out. We are going to play the write-off scene from Seinfeld where Kramer is explaining a write-off. This is what this is. These people, it's like we have a bunch of Kramers running the country. It's already been paid for, but someone had to pay for it. That's like if I took Jared out to lunch and the lunch was $200. And then rather than say, oh, thanks, Grace, for picking up the tab, Jared said, that was nice. That lunch was free. I'd be like, well, it wasn't. It would technically I paid for it. It wasn't free per se.
Buying me lunch is infrastructure.
Yeah. Hey, if lunch is part of it, I might get on board with this. I might try to push Joe Manchin in the right direction. But this woman, Catherine Rampell, she says that, yeah, in a sense, it will be paid for. So David Harsanyi replies to this and says, tax cuts in which Americans keep their own money have costs, but unprecedented spending bill costs perhaps zero because it is paid for. What utter nonsense. Yeah. And by the way, another tweet from Joe Biden from last week. Again, I would love to play you some sound of him promoting all of this ridiculous spending, but there is no sound because he doesn't really talk to people anymore. He also tweeted, folks, that's their way. That's the interns, you know. Oh, we got to make it seem like this is really him typing this out. Put a folks in there. You know, that will really convince people. He says, folks, I don't want to punish anyone's success, but those at the top have been getting a free ride for far too long. We're going to change that. Again, with the free stuff. And now he's trying to tell us that the wealthiest people in this country are the ones who are getting all the freebies. That is really wild. Ben Shapiro put that perfectly. He said, By a free ride, he means essentially paying all net taxes in the country. I read you guys that stat last week. The top 1% pays, I'll get the exact statistic, but it's crazy how much the top 1% pays in taxes. They pay more than like the bottom 40% combined or something ridiculous like that. But Joe Biden thinks they're getting a free ride. They're going to take that free ride and get far away from this country very soon. If you've ever heard of the bar tab theory, eventually people get tired of picking up the tab for everybody else. Especially when the bartender's sitting behind there going, "Yeah, you've been getting a free ride for way too long, pal." And you're like, "Free ride? I've been paying for everything. This doesn't make any sense." It's absolutely insane. And if this bill or this spending plan, this human infrastructure goes through, I know Joe Biden's going to consider it a victory or a win for his domestic agenda, but in the case of this administration, I think gridlock is the biggest victory we can all hope for. I just hope that nothing happens with this. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this when we get back. And it really does bring up how the mainstream media is still so pathetic. And I have more examples of that, of them just embarrassing themselves in this effort to make Joe Biden seem like he's not a complete disaster. Unfortunately, it's proving to be a harder job than they thought. And I know I teased this earlier, and Jared's always, and he's right to do this, he's always telling me, "You know, Grace, you teased this and you never played it." I teased a clip of Joe Biden insulting the American press, and I will play it because it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing how much our media has done for Joe Biden. They got him elected. This, I always say this, this president is brought to you courtesy of the American media. And no one is treating them worse than Joe Biden. And this clip will prove that to you. The Eden Pure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. With over 100,000 sold and counting, the Thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. We had a woman calling us up last week on the show, and she said, "I have a cat that has some problems, some bowel problems, let's say. And the smell's completely gone." And I thought that's really a testament to how great this product is. Jared, I know you like to use it for your allergies.
Yes, it's great because what it does is, you know, there's nasty stuff in the air. There's allergens, pollutants, things like that. Well, all I need to do is I plug in the Thunderstorm, I turn it on, and within minutes, it starts ionizing the air, which creates a super oxygen. And what that does is that eliminates pollen, allergens, dust, things in the air, you know, even some viruses, just nasty stuff in the air that you don't want to be breathing.
And it's a very small product. I'm holding up here for the Rumble camera. It's small, but it's very powerful, like Jared said. And right now, Eden Pure is offering a BOGO to my listeners this week only. That's buy one, get one. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACEBOGO. Hardy, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 3rd at midnight. Shipping is free. When we get back, we will play a little bit more sound about this spending bill. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want us to get too bogged down in the numbers behind all this fuzzy, magical math that they're coming up with. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Biggle back better.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
That's the magical thinking that we have right now. It's $3.5 trillion, but it's paid for, so it's free. It doesn't cost us anything. And what's even scarier is that Nancy Pelosi, who's in charge, really, of corralling all of these Democrats to vote a certain way, and she's having issues because And this is kind of hard for me to wrap my head around. I don't pretend to be someone who's an expert on like the reconciliation bill and how all of that works. But from what I gather, the progressives, the far left wing of her party, which she once famously told Leslie Stahl is only like five people, they are hoping that they can tie both together. And they're saying, if you don't pass the $3.5 trillion, we will not pass the $1.5 bipartisan infrastructure bill. So unless we're not going to pass the regular infrastructure unless we get all the human infrastructure. And basically what the moderates like Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are saying is, fine, we will let you kill the $1.5 trillion in order to not get on board with this $3.5 trillion. And Nancy Pelosi's in this weird position where she has basically said that she's tying them both together, that she won't just take the $1.5 trillion infrastructure deal as a win for the Democrats unless they also agree in tandem to pass the 3.5. She backed off of saying that the vote had to be on Monday for the sometimes they say 1.5. I guess it's $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. But it does get kind of confusing as to what's happening, because at certain times, Democrats, with all this infighting, some of them are saying that they're leaning towards voting for the 3.5, and some are just saying, no, I would rather the work that we've made as far as this bipartisan infrastructure bill die than be tied to all of this nonsense, to all of this pork, to all of this reckless spending. And on one hand, you have Joe Biden, who says it's not going to cost us anything. It's zero. It's a goose egg.
I can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
It's $0. It is free. But then even Nancy Pelosi, and the reason I caught this sound cut is because the New York Post was writing about it. I'm sorry, not the New York Post. The Red State was writing about it. And this Nick Arima, who we've had on the show, this is what he wrote. He said, only with magical thinking does the most expensive agenda ever end up costing nothing. Now, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wouldn't go quite that far. Such a bald-faced lie was apparently too much, even for her, which is saying something. She doesn't even want us to talk about numbers and dollars. So when you're not going to go along with the bald-faced lie, what's the next option? And for the Democrats, the next option is, you know, media blackout. Just don't talk about the cost of it. Just like the border, if we don't talk about it, then it ceases to exist. It no longer is a problem. Listen to Nancy Pelosi, cut 12.
So again, the Senate and the House, those who are not in full agreement with the president's rate, let's see what our value, let's not talk about numbers and dollars. Let's talk about values.
Let's not talk about numbers and dollars when we're trying to pass a $3.5 trillion spending bill. I have to add something in here. Donald Trump, when he ran for president in 2016, talked a lot about running the country like a business. And there were some people that really appealed to, people who have had experience in the private sector and who have often looked at the public sector and thought, wow, you could never run a business like this. You would all be fired. You would never make a profit. And then there were people who, you know, really lifelong hacks like Nancy Pelosi, who were aghast at the idea that he would try to run their precious sacred government as a business. It could never work. And then you hear her say something like this, and I really do think to myself, of course you would never imagine that Trump could be successful, because can you imagine being in a private sector company and trying to get a budget passed, and you get to the meeting, the board meeting, and you bring up your PowerPoint presentation and the boss asks you something and you say, let's not talk about numbers and figures right now. You would get a lot of furrowed brows. You would get a lot of perplexed looks coming back at you. Like, wait, hold on. We're not going to talk about the numbers and the figures, but you want to pass a spending plan? How does that work? It doesn't. And that's why nothing in government works, ever, because of people like Nancy Pelosi. When we get back, we've got journalism in the news and that cut I promised you between Joe Biden and he's talking about the Indian press. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Fallins Bee Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Fallins Bee Inn, spelled F-O-L-L-A-N-S-B-E-E. Go to fallinsbeein.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
How would you describe what's happening at our border? A flood, a surge, a crisis, a situation, or irregular migration?
I'm going to say a flood. In case you missed this, DHS Secretary Mayorca said he would not classify this, or he would not describe what's happening in Del Rio. Or, by the way, he also said he's probably, it's somewhere between 12,000 or 10,000 and 12,000 migrants are crossing, but he would not describe that as a flood. That's what he told Chris Wallace. So I am therefore going to describe it as a flood.
A flood is polling at 19% in the lead by far, a crisis at 75%.
Now, the reason that we even have all of these new words that we're using and new ways to describe things, one of them, which is really crazy, is irregular migration. And I think actually we should play that Mayorca cut one more time before we go into journalism and the news, because this is part of the problem, is that you change the language. And the worst part is the press goes right along with it. Cut 10, please.
We've seen this type of irregular migration many, many times throughout the years. I don't know if Governor Abbott said the same thing in 2019 when there were more than a million people encountered at the southern border.
It has gotten worse. Just the statistics of your own department show that the flood of people coming illegally across the border has gotten worse under the Biden administration.
So I wouldn't call it a flood, Chris, if I may, but...
He just got it. He has his blinders on. He can't hear you. He is not going to be sidetracked by your facts, Chris Wallace. And I know I keep referencing this piece. I will post it on my Twitter from Fox News. It's a handy guide to White House euphemisms. But they also mention, David Marcus writes, irregular migration. This one just started a couple of days ago, and it's a hoot. An irregular migrant is what we used to call an illegal alien or an undocumented immigrant. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki has started using the term as a way of convincing us that there is no crisis on the southern border, just a set of challenges facing our system of irregular migration. It sets an interesting precedent. In San Francisco, for example, where stealing from CVS is the new civic pastime, it might not really be stealing. It might be irregular shopping. You see, the term irregular carries no moral condemnation. It's illegal or unlawful to do. It's just not quite the norm. So what's the big deal? What is the big deal? A little bit of irregular migration. It sounds like a headache or something. Oh, you just have a little bit of a irregular issue. No problem. Don't worry about it. Don't get all upset. It's not like people are flooding the border. But I think the biggest problem with this is that when the Biden administration comes up with these crazy new terms, or when they're in complete denial of the problems they are causing, the press allows this to happen. I will never have any sympathy for our media. They helped deliver Joe Biden to the White House. They pushed him over the finish line. They could have been asking all of these questions about his mental acuity, about his decision making, about how he hasn't been right on any foreign policy decision over the past four decades, according to Robert Gates. They could have asked a lot more questions than they did, and instead they chose to talk about ice cream and ask about Orange Man and ask about his jelly bean and, you know, what he likes to do for exercise and how cute his dogs are. They wanted to talk about that. And so now Joe Biden's in there. And the only people that he should really be thanking for that, I'm not even going to say the voters, because I'm still not convinced that he really should be thanking the voters. But he should definitely be thanking the blue checks. He should definitely be thanking the journalists that run our media and create these bogus narratives. And instead, he's treating them like doggy do, as Nancy Pelosi would say. They're dog do on the bottom of his shoe. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Nothing makes me happier than witnessing Joe Biden treat the same people who have sacrificed everything for him. I mean, they're never, not that they had much integrity, but it is gone now. With Joe Biden, they got rid of any last bit of pride or integrity or decency they had. They sacrificed it so Joe Biden could become the president. And to watch those same people be criticized and mocked by this elderly old man who they helped elect, the punishment fits the crime. And it's a chef's kiss. I mean, it's a wonderfully delicious thing to watch unfold. And listen to this, because this is the most, I think, so far, the most insulting Joe has been. And he's had his moments. You know, he yelled at Caitlin Collins in front of all those reporters. He takes out a list and reads off names that he's allowed to take questions from. So there have definitely been some insulting moments, but this one was pretty insane. This happened on Friday after Biden's kerfuffle with Boris Johnson, Matt Whitlock writes, and the UK press. Biden preps the Indian press on no questions and then suggests the Indian media are simply better behaved than our American media. That's a big yikes. Now listen to this. He first preps him on we're not going to take any questions, and then he insults the American media. Go ahead, Jared.
I think what we're going to do is bring in the press. The Indian press is much better behaved than the American press. I got to watch out, though. Knock one of those down. And I think, with your permission, we should not answer questions because they won't ask any questions on point.
Let's break that down. One, he's projecting weakness again because, like everything he does, from going to the bathroom to getting a slice of cake to walking 10 feet in front of him, he has to ask someone for permission. It doesn't matter if it's his guests in the Oval Office, his wife, his handlers. He has to always say, with your permission. That's number one. Number two is he says the Indian press is better than the American press. Which, you know what, I won't even dispute him on that. I'm not that familiar with the Indian press, but it's hard to be worse than the American press. But then my last part, which is my favorite, is you guys don't stay on point. Because as I mentioned earlier, back in the day, and you know, I'm old enough to remember this, when we had a president who would take questions on Tiger King, the stock market, North Korea, COVID, and what else? The price of gas, all within 10 minutes. And then he would say, should we keep this going? And he'd go for two more hours. That's what I remember. You know, it was fun. It was kind of entertaining. You felt like you had some access to the leader of the free world. And now, not only is he not going to take questions, and he's telling, he doesn't want the Boris Johnson situation to happen where his guest at the Oval Office goes rogue and decides to take questions. So he has to give him a lecture on why they won't take questions. And then he has to chastise the American media, like the pathetic weaklings that they are. He has to remind them, you know, I'm the boss here. I'm the boss. I'm in charge, thanks to all of you. And you don't stay on topic, so you're not going to get any questions. And they all sit there with their notepads. Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. It's amazing. You know, maybe tomorrow he'll go outside and rev the engine of a car and they can all go, wee-hoo! Wow-wee! Isn't he the greatest? And that brings us to a quick segment here of journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
Now, I know this is old news and it goes against what I usually do to read old news, but I have to. You know, I owe this to myself. I've been following the Fredo Cuomo saga for so long. One of my first Herald columns was going to be about Fredo Cuomo bullying someone and saying he would throw him down the stairs. But the Herald said, Grace, that happened a week ago. You can't write that now. It's got to be fresh. So I really do love any sort of Cuomo update. So on Friday, I had a piece run in Spectator, and it was all about Andrew Cuomo. And I sent it to Howie, and Howie said, yeah, but don't you think you should mention the news about Chris? And I said, I haven't been on Twitter today. What's going on? Well, it turns out that, as Stephen Miller writes in The Spectator, now the face and guns of CNN finds himself embroiled in another scandal. Former ABC producer and journalist Shelley Ross accused Cuomo of sexual harassment in 2005 on The Record in the New York Times, with an email apology as her receipt. She later asked Cuomo to use his platform on national television to highlight stories like hers and Me Too. She did not call for his termination and insists she's not looking for a scalp. I'm going to skip around here. Why should Chris Cuomo be kept on the air in such a high-profile time slot, given his history of lying to his superiors, staging fake COVID stunts? That was one. That was on the spectrum of things he's done. That was one of his least harmful, was staging the fake "I'm emerging from the basement, he has risen" type of moment. Smearing sexual harassment accusers as liars on behalf of his brother, and now an on-the-record admission and apology for groping a colleague in a public setting in front of her husband. CNN could put a woman, even a woman of color, into that time slot effortlessly, and yet they refuse to do so. The reason is simple. CNN believes Chris Cuomo is a star, and when you're a star, CNN lets you get away with it. He goes
on. They were wrong before they were right.
The piece goes on to even mention Donald Trump and at NBC, and basically says that there's a pattern of bad behavior here with these networks, and they don't care as long as you're bringing in ratings, no matter how dismal those ratings are compared to Fox News. But I can't understand how, forget the people who watch Chris Cuomo. Those people lost their minds a long time ago. Forget Don Lemon when he does the crossover. He has no integrity either. But how Chris Cuomo goes on day after day and does these monologues that are just dripping in, you know, sanctimonious attitude, that's what really shocks me, is how he doesn't burst into laughter, how he doesn't break character halfway through and be like, "Yay, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm a meathead. I grope ladies in the studio. No issues there." But no, he puts on this thing like he's holier than thou. And CNN lets him. And this is just a quick side note before we go to break here. This is by Eddie Scary, and I really enjoyed this piece because I've been noticing. I noticed it last week when John Lemire from the AP, he listed off all of the terrible things that happened in 1 hour during the Biden administration. It was like failure, 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 failure. And then he finished it off by saying, "The punishing headlines all within an hour underscored the perils for a president from uncontrollable events that can define a term." Well, Eddie Scary has a piece out now, and it's not based off that tweet, which I found pretty amazing, but it is based off this idea that Biden isn't facing challenges. You know, Biden is the challenge. He's the one who's doing this. And I just want to read a couple of points here before we go to break. The media want Biden to look like a helpless bystander, a victim of circumstances out of his control. He's not. He's the perpetrator of nearly every disaster anyone with eyes can see. From the obscenity at the southern border, to the loss of 13 service members, to the inflation of household necessities. These are things happening to Biden. CNN did a remarkable job handicapping Biden's presidency earlier this week. In a September 20th segment on Jake Tapper's show, correspondent Phil Mattingly said Biden was grappling with one of the most consequential weeks of his first week in office, of his first year in office, excuse me. The graphic on screen noted that Biden was faced with foreign policy turmoil. And so Eddie goes on to describe this and says, Biden is not a helpless bystander to all of this. These are not challenges he is facing. Biden is the accident. He is the challenge. And I don't know how you could argue with that. I mean, he bragged for so long about how he was going to reverse all of Trump's policies. And now he's done it. And everything's falling apart. And he's suddenly going, how did that happen? How did we get here? Huh? If you've been paying attention, you know this is all Joe Biden's fault. It's the least he can do is take credit for that. 844-500-4242. By the way, people are finally, they're starting to transcribe his booster shot photo op from earlier today. I like this one. I'm not the scientist, I think, but one thing's for sure. A quarter of the country can't go unvaccinated and us not continue to have a problem. Ben Shapiro writes, who is us? The vaccinated who are safe or the unvaccinated who think they are safe? And why not leave people the hell alone? That's not
you know the thing.
Leaving people alone is just not his style. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Apex Entertainment and Aviva Trattoria. Both Howie and I will be broadcasting live from Apex in Marlboro this Thursday, and then Aviva Trattoria in Malden on Friday from 12 to 6. Come by, say hi, and get a free signed book from Howie before he leaves for Florida this weekend. Howie, you are leaving for Florida, and I know that you just must be heartbroken to leave behind this blue, blue, blue state.
Yes. The days are getting shorter. The weather is getting cooler. They turned off the heat at my swimming pool yesterday. The audacity.
Okay. You
It's time to go.
Are you turning into John Kerry before my very eyes? All right, Howie, I do have to ask you about a couple of things here. Chris Wallace had an interview with Alejandro Mallorca, and it's getting a lot of play.
Mallorcas.
I know. Some people are telling me I got to pronounce the S. I keep forgetting. But I wanted to play this sound cup for you because a lot of times there's all these questions about why is it getting so out of control? Why, you know, a lot of people think, is this by design? Do Democrats want illegal aliens to flood into our country? Listen to this response. This is cut 8.
Why didn't you stop them from coming into the country?
We did. We encountered them. They gathered, they assembled in that one location in Del Rio, Texas, and we applied the laws. We applied the public health law under the CDC's authority, and we applied immigration law.
My question is, why did you allow them in the country in the first place? Why didn't you build, forgive me, a wall or a fence to stop them from walking in this flood of people coming across the dam? It looks like a highway that allows them to cross the Rio Grande.
It is this the policy of this administration. We do not agree with the building of the wall.
Oh boy, Howie's going to have a lot to talk about for the next couple hours.
No lie, too big.
Absolutely. This is The Grace Curley Show.